very few of the insiders were in on this. I didn't hear Passan. I didn't hear Bradfoe. I didn't hear Karabas suggest that this money, the Devers money, was going to Roman Anthony Curtis. It was just a real baseball guy like myself,
right,
who was able to figure that out. Right. So
it didn't really, but that's okay. It's totally different.
I mean, this is what, when I'm at home scoring the game, these are the things, these are the big picture things that I think about, Curtis.
Hey, you were the only one that mentioned Roman Anthony. You were. Because this is really a deal that impacts 5 years from now. Because when he would be becoming a free agent, those arbitration years, and Greg, a very important part of this that is not related to money, we saw in a different sport how Swayman was impacted by those arbitration hearings.
Yeah.
That was real. And you don't want to create... That's why, I think with Mookie, you get into these arbitration hearings where the team is forced to tell the player why they're not worth the money they're seeking in a public way,
right,
or at least in a confrontational way. Now you have all of that done. So
does it help you at all when it comes to your hope that Bregman wants to stay
and doesn't
want to opt out?
I think you'll get Bregman, probably get a new deal for him as well.
It's been pretty quiet on the Bregman front, though.
Yeah.
It really has. So for a guy that we talked about extensively going into the season, for it to be pretty quiet when it comes to his name being brought up worries me a bit.
You think?
Yeah.
I think they get a new deal for him. They love him. I'm not saying they don't love him.
They
love Bogarts.
But does he opt out, or does he take what...
He's opting out.
Right, so if he opts out, I think they get a new deal done for him. Because he's a guy that they talk about has helped Roman Anthony. Why would you not want this guy in your clubhouse?
Well, he's an additional coach.
Yeah.
Like he is...
He's a good player for you, so why would you not want him?
All right, front office report this week brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And it is Sam Kennedy, the president of the Boston Red Sox, who joins us this morning. Hey, Sam.
Morning, guys.
Well, you just heard the audio. That not a lot of guys other than me that were in on this Roman Anthony thing early. But when everybody was whining and complaining, trade deadline time, I said, hold on and wait a second. And you got this deal done. And Sam, I'm sure you're excited. I'm wondering how long has this been going on for a while? How long were you guys talking about this?
Well, it is an exciting thing for the franchise. We've had a desire to have a long-term deal with Roman for a while. We actually had some initial conversations back at the winter meetings in Dallas, and then those conversations continued through spring training. I think the conversations were very positive. I think you heard from Roman yesterday. He wanted to get up here, experience what he thought to be true, which is this is the best environment in baseball, the best fans, an incredible ballpark, so on and so forth. And so once he had a feeling that this was going to be the place for him long term, and we sort of got that vibe from him, we quickly, just the other day, thought it would be the right time to put an offer on the table, and things came together quickly, just given how close we were back in the offseason. And we're really glad it worked out and want to congratulate him and his family. It's incredibly exciting.
Sam, I thought it was important, your emphasis to fans about how you guys want them to be able to fall in love with your stars, that it was okay to fall in love with your star players. Because looking at the past, whether it was Mookie or even Kyle Schwarber or Xander, when people buy their jerseys and, you know, the next season they're gone, fans are upset. Was that an emphasis for you guys behind closed doors, talking in meetings, to make sure that the people that the fans love, you guys are able to lock up for the long term?
It is. It's such an important part of Red Sox Nation and what we're trying to build here. I mean, Greg and I are old. Sorry, Greg, to bring you into this, but we grew up, falling in love with Dwight Evans and Jim Rice and Freddie Lynn and Rick Burleson and Carlton Fisk. And, you know, when guys moved on, you know, just from as a fan, it hurts, because these are the guys that you really grow up rooting for. And then if they move on to other teams, it's really hard. And we've had ups and downs over 2.5 decades of of keeping homegrown stars. And, you know, when you lose them, it does hurt. And so we wanted to send a message and remind everyone that, you know, the goal is to draft well, develop our players well, and then do everything in our power to extend the players who, as you heard from Roman, who want to be here. Number one, I mean, I think that's something that we need to do a better job of going forward. And you learn, look, we've made a lot of mistakes in the past. You want guys who want to be here. This place isn't for everybody. But you heard Roman's passion about this place and the fan base and the ballpark. And that's what we're looking for when we do these long-term deals.
Sam, you've been in the negotiating room with many of these guys and you talk about homegrown. How much does it help on the second go round, second contract, when you've shown them love on that first deal, like you've done with Roman Anthony, you know, Christian Campbell, Sadon Rafaela? How much does that help you getting a deal done on the second one?
I think it helps a lot. I mean, once you experience Fenway and hopefully the sort of family-like culture that we try to establish and being player-centric and helping our players on the field and importantly off the field and helping their families is really important. It really mattered. I think about extensions and discussions that we had with David Ortiz and Tim Wakefield, guys that, you know, Dustin Pedroia, for example, he was probably the most stark reminder. We extended him mid-season and, you know, he was very clear, like Roman was yesterday. I mean, Roman reminded me of that Pedroia press conference all those years ago where he said, listen, there may have been other opportunities, but this is where I want to be. And that matters in Boston. So it's really important to do everything we can to show our players the support. And that it's the organization, but it's also the fan base. I mean, the energy, the vibe in the ballpark the last couple weeks has just been extraordinary. And that's a credit to our fans. It's just been great.
We were just talking about Alex Bregman. Is it the organization's desire to get something done with him long term?
I mean, listen, you know, I said this yesterday, he has been just everything we thought he would be and more. He's obviously been injured and he's coming back from that. He's performed well on the field, off the field. He's been extraordinary. And like all these things, you know, we don't talk about contract situations publicly, but he has just been, he's been amazing. He's been a leader. He's been incredible in such a short period of time.
Sam, what's been the difference this year from where you sit in that there had been a bit of a swoon following inactive deadlines in years past, whereas this year, you know, up until last night, you'd won seven in a row?
Well, I think, Chris, we played just better at Fenway Park. I mean, we have to build rosters and teams that are designed to take advantage of the unique nature of Fenway. You know, its geometry, but also the energy and the pressure that comes with playing at Fenway. And when you have players that are built for Fenway from a baseball perspective and mentally are built for Fenway Park from a pressure and wanting to be in an environment where baseball matters more than anything else. I mean, you know, I've heard you talk about this, Chris, that there's just like nothing like October baseball and the desire to get to October and play in that environment is something that our players feel and know that that's the goal. And Alex Cora and John Henry and I were talking about this yesterday before the game. Like, our defense has just improved. There's been a much, much cleaner approach, and it really has helped. We have not played great defense over the last several years, and that's something that's really helped. So it's a number of factors. But we got to keep it going because we're still four games back in the division. We've got 46 games left. It's going to be a sprint. Every single one of these games like a playoff game because we don't want that wild card. I mean, we want to try to win the division. We got a couple more cracks at Toronto, but we've got a really tough trip here now with San Diego and Houston. So we just got to keep playing clean games. And do the right things, and hopefully we can get back in this divisional hunt here.
Yeah, Sam, one thing I think we can agree on is that I would be awful as a president of a baseball team because I have no patience. But one thing I just would, if you could, take us into that July 31st day where you see what you just described, the team's in a good position, the teams around you, I know you wouldn't say this, but appear to be ripe for the taking, whether it's injuries on the Yankees or the Blue Jays, whatever. How do you balance pursuing October baseball, which is the best of any of the sports that we have in this town when it comes to enjoyment and the city being taken over by the Red Sox? How do you balance your urgent desire to return to that with what you need to do in terms of how you've rebuilt the system?
Yeah, I mean, it was really fascinating to watch Craig sort of throw caution to the wind. I mean, he was all in, incredibly aggressive in packaging in just about everybody and everything in that farm system. There was a real thought that we were going to get deals done, one deal, two deals done for a controllable starter. We fell short of that. We obviously did get a couple deals done to reinforce the bullpen and the rotation with Dustin coming over. But it was there was not a lot of long-term thinking going on at the deadline. And we were aggressive, but I always quote Dustin Pedroia, but there's no prize for trying. He always says we try at the Y. You know, like this is about results. And when we didn't get the controllable sort of targeted starters that we were engaged with, you know, we did feel a sense of frustration, but we quickly picked ourselves up off the mat and we moved on because we knew there were other discussions going on and things that we needed to focus on.
Were you disappointed that Craig couldn't get a deal done for Joe Ryan?
Well, we were just disappointed that certain controllable starters didn't move. You know, at the end of the day, there's nothing you can do when a team isn't going to move a player. That's their prerogative. And you know, I'll leave it at that. But yeah, you put in a ton of work for several weeks. And by the way, this happened last year in the Garrett Crochet situation. Really glad things changed down in Dallas, and glad in Texas we were able to extend him and announce that extension opening day. So maybe that's a foreshadowing for more aggressive moves as we go forward here. We'll see. But yeah, it's when you have a plan and you aggressively pursue it and you feel like you do everything in your power to get there and it doesn't happen. Yeah, it's frustrating, and patience, Chris, wears thin for all of us. But that said, you know, we have a really great team that we're excited about. And we came out of the trade deadline over the weekend against Houston and won that series, swept that series, won the series against Kansas City. Now we got to go win a series in San Diego. It's going to be a raucous environment out there.
So Sam, at the end of the day, was it just that teams were not willing to part ways, or was it the price too high for you guys that they wanted more than what you were willing to give up?
No, it was teams weren't willing to part ways.
Sam, how important, and has this message been told to Giolito and Bayo, especially after the trade deadline, that they have to continue to pitch the way that they've been pitching? Has that message been told to them about their importance, especially the second half and hopefully into the postseason run?
Yeah, this group, Wiggy's awesome. I mean, they are tight. You can, you know, you don't have to take my word for it. You can just see the love and support for each other from this group, whether it's Trevor Story and Alex Bregman or Aroldis Chapman, Whitlock. I was talking to you the other day about how tight these guys are. It's been great to see the young guys coming along. I mean, Lucas has been unbelievable, and we need him to be that guy and have every confidence that he will, and Bayo as well. So it's a really tight group, and they're on a mission, and that's all we can ask for. And you know, look, they've stepped up, and that's really important. We have to play great baseball in August. It doesn't feel like we've done that in a while, and we're off to a good start here, but it's very early. We got to keep it going.
Sam Wiggy wants one of those turbulence shirts in the double XL, if you could.
We've all been on a lot of bad flights, but man, it sounds like thankfully I wasn't on that one. It sounds like it was brutal, and you know, I just love the fact that our assistant general manager Raquel Ferreira, I called her. I'm like, hey, how bad was it? She's like, I was asleep. Alex Cora was asleep. So I guess it just depends on how you view the world. But thankfully, they got out there safely, and it's just a reminder of you know, how how fragile life can be when you're at 30,000 feet bumping around up there. But everyone was okay.
Well, congratulations on getting Roman Anthony locked down for 8 years, and we appreciate you taking the time, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
All right, that is Sam Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Any nuggets in there?
I think
Courtney got a great nugget.
It wasn't their fault that didn't get it done.
Do you believe it?
Oh, I believe Sam.
I mean, well, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. I mean, if they weren't going to part with Joe Ryan, they weren't going to part with Joe Ryan. I mean, I don't.
Nobody got him, so maybe he's right. Yeah. You know, nobody got him. I mean, there were other teams that needed a starting pitcher, and nobody was able to get him, so maybe.
It feels like, Will Fleming, after the deadline on Friday afternoon, went on our afternoon show and talked about how the Red Sox may be able to finish off the Joe Ryan acquisition in the offseason, and I think Sam may have just alluded to that, you know, they began conversations with Crochet that eventually were done before the opener in terms of the extension. Maybe the Joe Ryan deal is consummated this offseason.
Oink! Oink!
I was going to ask him that. I was going to say, some of those guys that you weren't able to get, will you look to pursue them in the offseason? But, you know, he was kind of caught up in this year.
Yeah. Real quick, what do you think Craig Breslow throwing caution to the wind looks like? Would that be
wild?
Would that be not wearing a collar?
Good morning.
Belt, maybe.
Maybe throwing a lampshade on the head at the end of the bash, or like
untucking his shirt.
Maybe.
Definitely.
I don't want to say
shorts. What about the no socks with the loafers? Maybe.
Well,
when throwing caution to the wind.
Ken actually told me he had half a Zima.
It could be one day you walk in there and you throw every single computer model right out the window.
Right.
And you go with gut instinct.
Who knows? Maybe. Maybe he pulls up in a pinky ring.
I think it's kind of up to us to run our own race.
Maybe he does. Maybe he lets the dew grow out a little bit.
There you go.
Maybe a little scruff.
That's the way to go. That's when you know. That's when you know.
Do you think Cora and Raquel Ferreira were asleep because they were sitting next to Breslow talking about the deadline?
All right. We're going to get to your Hill Notes coming up right now. Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Sox dropped their last with the Royals. 7-3 was the final at Fenway. Dustin May only went 3 2/3, giving up 3 runs on 6 hits while striking out 4. But the big news yesterday, the Sox locked up Roman Anthony to an 8-year, $130 million contract extension covering the 2026-33 seasons with a club option for 2034. That could top out at $230 million with incentives. The guys are off tonight before taking on the Padres out west tomorrow night. The Pats had their joint practice with the Commanders yesterday. 13,000 Patriots fans showed up to watch that take place. And Mike Vrabel walked away a bit bloodied. The coach jumped into the middle of one of the tussles between the two teams, coming out with a bloody cheek. No players were ejected from practice, and it was resolved. When it comes to players, it seems like Pop Douglas continues to be on the up, being one of Drake's top targets. Drake May went 15 for 19 with one interception and 11 on 11s. And the defense seemed to do a good job against Jaden Daniels in the red zone.
I know we got Hill Notes, but Curtis is our guy, and I think I have a moonshot for him.
For Curtis?
That he should be looking to do.
Well, we can get to that coming
up. I want to ask him.
Okay, all right.
Braintree takes on Bedford, New Hampshire tonight at 7 p.m. to try to punch their ticket to the Little League World Series. So good luck to Braintree.
Yeah. Could I have a genre of what you're talking about, Wiggs?
Ticketing.
Okay.
Okay.
What was the last Massachusetts team to make it to the Little League World Series? Was it Peabody?
Oh, wow.
Well, I have no idea.
Know.
Danvers or something like that?
No, this is like your Bill Rogers from the last marathon winner. I don't remember.
What was the name of the Almeida, the kid that was like 30?
I think that was like,
Danny Almeida? Yeah.
Was that the DR or Puerto Rican team?
Yeah. Danny Almonte.
Yeah, it might have been the Dominican Republic team.
You're right, Dominican.
Well, there's a lot to love about driving a 2025 Subaru Outback with the 2025 Outback with 0.9% financing for up to 36 months or lease for just $255 per month. Details and authorized Subaru retailers at SubaruofNewEngland.com.
By the way, Greg, it looks like it was Middleborough.
Okay. All right.
In 2022.
Oh, wow. That's not too long
ago. Braintree.
Yeah, go Braintree.
Like, go Braintree. Bring it home.
Yeah,
let's
bring it home.
Do it.
Yeah.
That is what's trending. Coming up, we've got your Hill Notes, and Wiggy has a moonshot for Curtis.
Chime, did I see that Patriots Stan John Bon Jovi was there again yesterday?
Yeah, the guy that tried to buy the Buffalo Bills? Yes.
Joint practice with the Commanders. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Amendola out there yesterday. I saw Jason Tatum out there. No boot. Walking around like an absolute stud. So
the who's who.
We're back in business. Sam Kennedy will join us at 9 this morning. Red Sox front office report. After getting an 8-year, $130 million deal done with Roman Anthony. And there weren't many who saw that coming. No. Like, it kind of came out of the blue yesterday, I think.
Well, Greg, I think one guy saw it coming.
Some sort of a MLB insider or something?
Ooh, can I take a guess?
I don't know that he clarifies himself quite as an insider. But
so who, Passan?
Yeah, I was going to say Passan.
Bradfo.
Bradfo?
It's going to be bad audio.
Huh? It's like Bradfo adjacent, I would say.
Who would you say saw it coming?
That would be you, Greg.
Oh, on this radio program?
Yeah.
When was this?
July 31st.
Oh.
The day of the trade deadline.
Do you happen to have audio?
I do, Greg, if you'd like to hear
that. I'd like to hear that, please. They do have a deal eventually that they're going to have to do with Roman Anthony. Is there any chance that a part of what they are doing is looking ahead to that when it comes to the Devers money, which is really...
Anthony is, I mean, it's that 15, would be not even close to what you're worried about right now.
Well, I mean, if anybody knows baseball, it's yours truly. I mean, I've been there since the beginning. When I say beginning, I'm talking about Babe Ruth.
Right.
When did you text Shibe to grab that?
As soon as the deal was done.
It needs to begin at the beginning.
Pretty good, though. I mean, there was no Passan didn't have it. Who are the other?
Rosenthal?
No, none of them had it. Not only are you breaking baseball deals, but now you got the reporter, the lawyer on from Karen Reed.
Celtic Scoops.
I don't think you went to the trial once.
I said I was on X last night, and I said spoke to Roman Anthony. Can confirm. Deal is done, Curtis. Well, deal is done. Can confirm. So, good news.
Yes.
And something to talk to Sam Kennedy about coming up on this show a little bit later. Right now, though, let's get to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Shime, I don't know the artist. I don't know the song.
So, you're very familiar with the artist. The artist would be Billy Joel.
Wait. That's Billy Joel?
That is, in fact, Billy Joel with the song When in Rome, and that's a long-distance dedication to the new long-term Red Sox, Roman Anthony.
Guy has an unbelievable catalog.
Billy Joel, when
you think about it.
Yeah.
And the documentary, we talked about it the other day, it's really, really good. Curtis is right, it's long, but it's really, really good.
Top five all-time pianist singers?
Well, like guys I mean, Elton is right there.
Right.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, Travion Henderson.
No, Lady Gaga. Oh, Lady Gaga has to be on the list.
No, she's not on the top list. Five. No,
she's
stop
on the
it.
List.
Wait, stop it. Stop
Wiggy,
it.
Have you even seen Youngs, A Star is Born?
Maybe for the Youngs.
Yeah.
She hasn't had half the career.
No. The Youngs are the future.
Stop it. Stop
I know
it.
The Youngs are the future, but
she's like the greatest pop star of one of the greatest pop stars of this century.
Get out of here.
She's 2000.
It's not even a question.
Get the F out of my radio
Stop
station.
Stop it. Stop it.
Mike Milbury would agree with me.
If she wasn't that good, why would Elton John, the king, do a song with her?
Because she paid him.
Right. Oh, exactly. You are.
Okay. Right. I think Elton John's done songs with numerous people. Hey, I'll give you four. You tell me if they're in the top five, and then you can fight over the stupid Lady Gaga.
I love this, by the way. Go ahead.
Billy Joel.
Yes.
Stevie Wonder.
Yes.
Ray Charles.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, Ray Charles was an absolute legend. Right. Okay.
Alicia Keys.
Alicia Keys
pretty
is
good.
Alicia Keys pretty good, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah, pretty good.
And Elton John. Those are four right there.
Yes.
And then you can fight over, does Liberace, Lady Gaga.
Women loved him.
who else, whether Alicia Keys, who would finish in that fourth spot?
It would be Lady Gaga.
Maybe there's somebody else might be missing.
It's not Lady Gaga. I appreciate her talent, but she's not. What did you say? The greatest pop? Did you say the greatest pop star of all time? Shaq?
No, of the 20th century or 21st century.
The same thing. I mean, my God.
What do you mean? 2000? What do you mean?
I mean, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, Beyonce,
but...
Taylor Swift, Rihanna. Yeah. There's like three of them right
Rihanna's
there.
Rihanna's probably not on the list.
So no. You said since 2000.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I would say
Rihanna has kind of taken some
Taylor
time
Swift
off.
Taylor Swift and Beyonce.
Little John.
Rihanna's taken some time off, I'd say, in the last 5 or 6 years.
It's late to be mama.
617 text, Greg, I'm your age, and I agree with him. Gaga is one of the greatest and will be one of the greatest of all time. She has a long way to go. She has a long way to go to be one of the greatest of all time. I will say, when it comes to those who can sing and play an instrument and act, which is rarefied air to be in, Gaga's pretty good. She was good in that remake of A Star is Born, whatever
Correct.
They call it.
She was great.
What's that movie called?
A Star is Born.
It's okay. It's called it the same thing.
Yeah. She's also in, House of Gucci, right,
yes.
Courtney?
Yeah.
But she was excellent in A Star is Born.
Fantastic.
The remake.
A great movie.
Also, they're rebooting Friday Night Lights.
You told me this.
How have you not brought this up
I
yet?
I don't know. I didn't know about it. And so,
it's your favorite show of all time.
Of all time. I wrote my biggest paper in college on Friday Night Lights.
Wow.
I did.
At Banger. Boston College?
Yes.
What class was that for?
Well, I took all media classes.
Okay.
What was it about? Was it about Tim Riggins?
Yeah.
Is there anything easier than writing? And again, I didn't go to college. I get it. But writing a paper on a television show that you love?
Can I one-up it? I wrote a paper on the psychology of Batman.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, right.
It wasn't necessarily easy. It was enjoyable because I enjoyed the topic that I was writing on, but
smart.
I chose that.
That's a smart move by the teacher.
But I'm very excited. My only question is, I haven't seen if Connie Britton is going to join the cast for this reboot. It seems like Taylor Kitsch, who is Tim Riggins, is not going to reprise his role, which really upsets me.
What about Minka?
Minka Kelly would be great to see. Lila Garrity, where she is now.
Is Kyle Chandler going
to
be in it?
I don't know. So it seems like they're going to base it off a new cast, but I hope that there are some that...
I'm out.
Greg, if you're looking for something to do on vacation,
yes.
The book is so good.
So
if
good.
You haven't read Buzz Bissinger's Friday Night Lights.
I don't think I have.
It's awesome.
I haven't either. Where
I
do
like
you
the
rank?
Movie also.
Movie's not as good as the TV show.
Oh, my God.
Nope, I will fight this fight for the rest of my life.
I think Courtney's
right. They dumb it down for the TV.
No, TV show is so superior.
Mm-hmm.
It
Except
is...
the third season when they went on a writer's strike. That you have to throw out.
Yes.
Outside of that, I agree with Courtney.
Yeah.
The scene when the dad throws his ring. Oh, my God. Great movie. Excellent. Excellent movie.
Well, I am looking for book suggestions for my vacation.
If you want a bit smut, a bit drama, and a bit in salacious activity and maybe a little murder twist, Bad Summer People, I just finished.
Really?
Spectacular.
What's those called now?
Who's the
smut.
Author?
Emma Rosenbaum.
Okay.
I believe that's her name.
All right.
But it takes place on Fire Island. It's very good.
Would you happen to have a slightly worn copy that I could borrow so I don't have to buy it?
I'm a Kindle gal.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Could I borrow your
no.
Kindle?
No.
For the beach?
That thing is.
Show me how to set it up.
Right.
Yes.
If Greg borrows the Kindle, you're going to have to FaceTime him to show him how to turn it on.
You're going
to
read it on the beach?
Beach or pool?
Yeah, you officially turned into a middle-aged white woman. Reading a smut by the pool as a grown ass man.
Well, I mean, I'll be.
On the cover, is it like some guy with long flowing hair?
No.
Hugged
Fabio?
On some lady. Yeah.
What do you think I'm going to do by the pool? I'll definitely eat.
Yeah, I would say drink, people watch, and maybe scroll.
People watch. They're in his backyard.
I need to get out there. I need to get my son.
Okay.
I got to finish up the summer with a tan.
As she walked down the steps, that's when she saw Darren. Greg is, I mean, really? What are you, a 50-year-old woman?
Quiet, Lids. They're getting into bed.
All right. We got to take a break. But we are going to get to today's leads next, I promise.
WEEI Afternoons on a Thursday afternoon in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. The Red Sox were not powered by Dustin May last night. We knew, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, that all good things come to an end, whether it's 10-game winning streaks or 7-game winning streaks. And we knew there was a possibility that Dustin May in his debut might not be...
Dustin May suck?
Yeah, suck is a little strong.
That was pretty bad.
May not be good enough to stay in the rotation for very long.
Maybe a long reliever candidate?
Yes, and I think Alex Cora previewed that with us yesterday at Fenway Park when he said, oh, this is great, that's great, this is good. We'll talk about his usage later. I think that may have been foreshadowing that Dustin May is not necessarily going to be one of the five in the rotation for the long haul.
No, as a matter of fact, his outing last night left me thinking for the majority of the night, all right, what is the next priority for this baseball team? Because you lock up your superstar, the young face of the franchise, Roman Anthony, long term. Breslow comes out in the salmon-colored jacket. Side note, I don't trust anyone who wears a salmon-colored jacket.
Really?
Yeah, I just can't.
What's wrong with salmon? Isn't that kind of like a highfalutin? Yeah. Or is that why?
It's highfalutin. It's exactly. Yeah, like you
that
think,
falls in line
you think
with
you
like,
need to wear a salmon-colored suit? No, I'm out.
I don't can't have do one. It. I'm okay. Not sure I could pull it off.
You probably could, actually. You're venturing braver and braver into, like, you're wearing your Hey Dudes, you got on your happy golf shirt. Like,
and I got mocked for it.
These are, why?
Dan Ball's mean.
No.
That's why.
No, it's just.
Oh, yeah, I was the only one that mocked you for it.
He's reactive to the way that he's been treated around
I just jumped in line. The Greg Hill Show started, and then I just piled on.
Yeah.
Greg Hill Show.
They thought it was off-brand because they're used to seeing, like, Sports Academy and Visor, not like, who's this guy in the golf shirt and the Hey Dudes?
If we're going to be honest, Brianna from Dana-Farber also brought it up at the very least. She didn't mock it, but I felt like in the situation she was a step away from mocking.
It's all good.
We had a nice visit over there at Dana-Farber this morning as a show. We'll get into that at some point. But the Boston Red Sox, everything was rolling, and Breslow had pulled out of the trade deadline with wins and Roman Anthony signed for the next 8 years. And all was going well, and then last night's game unfolded, and Dustin May took the mound, and it wasn't great. It was meh at best, and I think suck is a little strong. I think meh at best is probably more accurate.
What, 3 1/3, 91 pitches, 3 earned runs?
That's not great.
No, it's not great. A hit batter, a home run.
Okay, Dan Ball gave the thumbs down from behind the glass. Okay.
Yeah, that's because he sucked last night.
No, he stunk.
Come on.
He stunk. We said, I think we, as a show, agreed yesterday that if he could go five innings, three runs, we would be happy.
So
we
he gave up
enough.
3 runs in 3 2/3 of an inning. Jordan Hicks gave up 3 in an inning. Does that suck?
Yeah, I didn't say Jordan Hicks. No, that sucks, too.
You know what both of those guys have in common?
What's that?
Breslow acquired him. He was like, see those pitchers? I want them on the Red Sox.
Well, Jordan Hicks has at times looked good, but I agree 1,010,100% with what the broadcast team said last night. Fleming said, folks, I'm paraphrasing, but I think I'm pretty accurate here. Folks, that the 3-run home run, that's what happens when you can't locate your fastball.
Oh, and he can't.
No, he has no control. I think you and Jordan Hicks would get along great. You know how you say sometimes, like, sometimes I open my mouth and I have no idea what's going to come out of
it. Yeah, he opens his hand. He has no idea where that ball is going.
He unfurls. He's like, I have no idea where this is going. But let's see. He's like Ricky Vaughn, Wild Thing, before he got tamed and became an elite closer in Major League. That's exactly where Jordan Hicks is right now.
And he allowed, I believe it was Will Middlebrooks on Nesson one night to use just a bit outside when the ball went to the backstop.
Yeah.
Dave O'Brien kind of skipped past it, didn't really acknowledge it with the attention that I thought it was worthy of. But there's a lot of discussion of not just the Red Sox winning. It's a perfect example, though, of what we do in Boston. We overanalyze everything. The team, whatever my number is, 21-7 in their last 28 games or whatever the hell it is, like a ridiculous streak here that they're on to salvage the season, give us all hope and expectations and get greedy, all those things. And yet we start talking about, well, the trade deadline still sucked. I don't care if they've won 5 in a row since then. It sucked, blah, 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 blah. And then, yeah, you know why they signed Anthony? To distract us from not getting anything at the trade deadline.
Oh, did they bright shiny objects us over here with that one? No.
Am I supposed to care?
About which one?
Like,
you should care about
the contract. Did they sign Anthony?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Long term on a good deal.
So as Dante Scarnecchia used to say, Don't tell me how rough the water is. Just put the boat in. If the boat is in the water, I'm happy. They put Roman Anthony in the water. Why they did it? Distract me. Good business. Cheap. Some people think that, too. Cheap. Well, you're signing him now because you're cheap and you don't want to have to pay him more later.
No, it's a smart thing to do.
What?
And I also agree with the Midday Show's spin that maybe, just maybe, in addition to being, shall we say, frugal with the Fenway budget, that they may have learned something from the brutally botched negotiations of the past decade, most notably Marcus Mookie Betts, and figured, you know what we can do? We can avoid all of the animus and vitriol that came with haggling over $500,000 in arbitration. Just give the kid a good, fair deal now. We'll probably come out on the right side of the budget because he may or may not make a lot of All-Star games and win an MVP or two. Let's just go ahead and do this now. You've got a base from which you can build this team and add veteran talent for years to come, Andy, and your fans love it. The only problem is I have no idea who the fourth starter is.
Okay, we'll work that out as we go. And the beauty of it is if you get to where you think you're going to get to, you usually can get by on three starters, correct? You can kind of squeeze it out there.
Yeah, but, dude, you know how sometimes you go in a lake and there'll be, like, a sign that says, be careful, precipitous drop after, like, the little buoys. We're not talking about, like, it goes from 5 feet to 7 feet to 9 feet. It goes from 5 feet to 50 feet quick with this Red Sox rotation. We have a megalodon in the lake?
Living in the lake, yeah. It's the damnedest thing. You got to go really far down to see it, and that's why they tell you there's a drop-off.
But that's like a saltwater creature.
Yeah, no, it's morphed over time.
No, it's a movie. It's
yes,
fine.
Dan Bolt.
Kyle Harrison, 5 innings, 2 hits, and no runs today with 7 strikeouts. So maybe he's closing
Dan, honestly, as we speculated yesterday on the program, WEI Afternoons, download it today, Odyssey app, we thought he would be the next candidate because obviously we've seen what does or does not fit in his particular spot. Walker Buehler, hit or miss, wild card every time. Why not give Kyle Harrison a shot to see if there's any chance he could be of some fourth starter value the rest of the way?
He will get a chance, and he will get the opportunity to try to salvage the trade of Rafi Devers.
Are we already there?
We're going down that road a little bit. They already traded away the Tibbs kid, and he's hitting home runs elsewhere in the minor leagues.
And why did they do that? Well, Tibbs wasn't Tibbs. Mr. Tibbs went for Dustin May, right?
Desperate. Because it was the clock was literally reaching 5:59:59, and they needed to acquire a starting pitcher because they had put all their eggs and hopes and attention into the Joe Ryan basket, and they scrambled to go get a pitcher, so they overpaid.
He would have looked good in a Red Sox uniform, but in my mind's eye, he looks better and better in what would have been a Red Sox uniform every day.
The Dustin May trade was the example of your car exploded. It blew up. You go to the car dealership to buy a new car. They are giving you a terrible deal, and you're like, I need to take
what
this deal
because
I can't get home if I don't have a new car. And that is Dustin May. So you bought a lemon, a clunker at a high price. But getting back to Roman Anthony, you bring up Mookie Betts. I think we can all agree. 617-779-7937 if
is
you want to disagree.
Number. Oh, okay.
No. If you want to disagree, but I think we can all agree that, one, Roman Anthony is the best all-around baseball player to come through Boston since Mookie Betts.
Our phone lines are open.
Yes. Oh, I think that is universally, easily agreed upon.
So you just paid him 8 years, $130 million, and I know you didn't really, you were going to have him for the next 4 or 5 years anyway. He was going to be arbitration eligible. But as you mentioned, if you go down the road of arbitration and you start telling him why we can't pay you as much as you think you want to be paid, now you're Corbin Burns, you're these players, Jaron Duran, last year, that starts to change the relationship with the organization. He's now locked and loaded. 8 years, he can go out there, and he said it. He just needed 150 at-bats here in Boston to
realize,
this is where I want to be. Boston, Fenway Park, Nantucket on off days with my buddy Marcelo Meyer. We'll take the ferry out there or the plane out.
My sister, probably
a private jet.
My sister looking like a smoke show standing next to John Henry. Boy, did he position himself in the right spot in the family photo.
Will Fleming saying, you can't take your eyes off my family, the whole thing there.
And everyone's looking at his mom. Hey, by the way, I would just like to reply, as you've given out the phone number, gentle reminder to the audience, it is, of course, our text line as well. A 508 texter, hey, morons, you can't win every blanking game.
And the blank was an F word.
I know.
Jesus.
A, we're aware of that. B, we're not complaining about a single loss.
Time out. You can.
You can technically.
Win every
there
game.
Is no law against it. You're right.
Nope.
It's just
never
extremely.
Been done.
It's never been done. It's very difficult.
It's hard in all sports.
It is. It's very difficult.
But you are
allowed.
It's like the
yes.
teacher. Can I go to the bathroom? I don't know. Can you? You can win every game.
Yes. You can technically win every game. That said,
I gave snark to effing snark.
We're not being too myopic in focus and analysis here, just like locking in on last night's game and what it means for the Red Sox chance to hold on to the first wild card or chase the AL East lead. No, this is more about some of the things that we all wanted the Red Sox to address at the trade deadline. An extra bat and or a fourth starter or second starter or third starter reared their ugly heads last night. Plus, Andy, I hate to dip into the bucket of cliches this early, but sometimes them's the breaks. You got a ball hit by, I believe it was Anthony or Duran. No, Duran had the wicked liner down to first. Normally would have been a hit, but the guy just happened to be in the right spot
baseball,
at the right time.
It's baseball, Ray.
And then you've got the Roman Anthony hit that would have been a home run in 29 out of 30 parks. Them's the breaks. It's baseball, Ray. What you going to do?
But you might give yourself a better chance if you acquired a different pitcher at the deadline, if you acquired a different pitcher in the bullpen.
Precisely.
And Breslow has had his ups and downs. I think we can all agree
on that.
Salmon
coat?
Old Salmon coat has had his ups and downs. And, you know, you might say you got lucky to get some of the success you've had over the course of the season, whatever. But the reality is yesterday was not a great day for Craig Breslow coming out of the trade deadline, seeing a couple of his acquisitions of the last couple months pitch, give up runs, not pitch very well, because we know our buddy Alex Cora on WEEI Afternoons tells us multiple times every Wednesday that pitching. He wants pitching if at all possible.
You know what else? They have a good baseball team.
They do have a good baseball team. But, you know, yesterday was one of those that you can't effing win every one of them kind of games. The Roman Anthony thing, though, that I want to get into is, where does he suddenly rank? Because it's life comes at you fast. And Roman Anthony is now a superstar in Boston sports. Superstar in Boston sports. I think we can say that already.
Wait, Roman Anthony is the second biggest superstar in Boston sports right
now?
No,
he's a superstar in Boston sports. But where does he rank? Where does the hierarchy come? There is a bit of a, I won't say drought here, but because of some down years,
for sure.
You have the Celtics riding high, where they had their superstar and then their superstar running mate, whatever you want to call Jaylen Brown, and then they had all these other guys that are kind of stars in the NBA, a Porzingis here. And
a Derek White there.
Yes, so they had guys like that. The Bruins have one star/superstar in Pasta, right? The rest are...
I hate to say it, he's not on the medal stand right now.
Okay, so the Bruins are eliminated from contention, right? Okay. We got
it
nobody?
It is Jason Tatum.
At practice yesterday with the Patriots.
It is Drake May. It is Jaylen Brown, and then nipping at their heels, Roman Anthony.
And I think that is a really impressive ascension.
Sad indictment of the state of the Bruins.
Probably, to some degree, yes, because if you went back to the glory days, included the Patriots, for example, in a day when Tom Brady was looking left to Rob Gronkowski and right to Julian Edelman.
Yeah, they were always gold, silver, bronze. Boy. You got to be kidding me.
They're high up on the list.
And damn, Dole's
or even
handsome.
Red Sox days when it was Betts, Poppy, Devers, what? Bogarts.
Go back. How about?
But I'm not even going back that far.
How
I'm
about
saying
back in the early
2000s, history.
Like, I mean, when you have Brady and Pedro and Ortiz, are you kidding me? Like, that kind of star power was Tom Cruise, superstar, presidential, international pop star, K-pop, electric.
And Roman Anthony is finding his way at the plate. He's finding his way in his field, and he's finding the way in Boston sports and on the roadmap of stars. I find him a fascinating character already. And I know
Roman Anthony?
Yes.
Because he's steady.
He's somehow an old soul and a super young soul all wrapped into one. Like, his youth and his looks, you're like, Jesus, does this kid shave? He's young looking. Then you see him surrounded by women and you're like, oh my God, this guy's got the world by the cojones. People want to, you know, the old women want to be with him, men want to be him kind of thing. And then you hear him talk. And there is a sage style to his delivery, sort of just a monotonic, even-keeled, you know, not too excited. How excited would you be if yesterday, at 21 years of age, you signed a $130 million contract? Do you think you'd be like,
well, I just always thought I wanted to play baseball in the city of Boston.
So no, because you wouldn't be able to hear me talk through the ninth magnum of champagne that I would be guzzling.
It'd be like, holy bleep, holy bleep, holy bleep, I just won the lottery. Yes, guzzle this, eat that, live the life.
No, you'd be like, You probably hear in the background, sir, that's the third Maserati you've purchased today. Don't care. Let's go.
Yeah. I find him a really interesting character. And then even what Alex Cora told us yesterday about the energy that the old guys are getting from the young guys. And when we say young guys, the leader of the young guys is Roman Anthony. So when he talks about older players going to the young players to feed off of them and to get things from them, I think Roman Anthony is at the head of that list. So we're talking a little Red Sox. They lost, but things are looking bright because Roman Anthony is here for the next 8 years at $130 million, maybe as much as $230 million. Although, as Wet Blanket Arcand pointed out, that means he has to win the MVP like every year.
Yeah, I'm going
to
be the best player in baseball, damn it, every year. I don't like it if you guys do.
He might be the best player in baseball. 617-779-7937. How are you feeling about this Roman Anthony situation? Were you distracted? Was it a ploy from Breslow? Or are you like me? You're just happy to have a great player and know you can buy his jersey and wear his jersey for the next 8 years as a member of the Boston Red Sox. Talking about that next with your phone calls here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, for the first time today, despite making fun of me in my shirt, gives you what's trending. Time now for Odds and Ends, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. And the man of the day, the man of the hour here at Fenway Park, has apparently been talking to the media, Roman Anthony.
The Empire.
Who I think has agreed to a 8-year, $130 million contract. Alex Cora didn't really want to add anything to the reports that were out there. So, Stiz, I know it was just happening fast. Not sure exactly what you got, but play me some Roman Anthony audio fresh off his contract.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, back in the spring, I hadn't had any experience playing here yet. Didn't really know what to expect yet. And so for me, it was just more of wanting to be here and getting a feel for the everyday lifestyle here. But at the same time, knowing that, again, I came up through this org and always wanted to be here and always knew how great this city was and how passionate the city was. And then, you know, when I got to experience it and like Brez mentioned, you know, only being 150 at bats in, you know, I can tell this is where I want to be and there's no doubt.
Stiz, can you pause this real quick? That's eye opening right there. 150 at bats in. So he got $1 million per at bat.
Yep.
Basically. Pretty much. $130 million contract with escalators to 230. $130.
All they need. It's
and I know Christian
size.
Campbell, you know, got his before the year, but it was a smaller contract.
Yeah.
$64 million.
And that's because he, you know, took it so he could make the roster. Like, absolutely. There's a bunch of strange scenarios that came around from that one.
All right, roll it, Stiz.
There are a number of escalators in this deal that will enhance the value based on how well you perform. How much of that was you being driven to kind of bet on yourself and your future performance?
Yeah, you know, for me as a player and as a competitor, I believe in myself every single day. And you know, I don't know what the future holds, but I believe that, you know, I will be the best version of myself every single day. So, for me, like I said, it was a deal that was obviously more than enough for me and for my family and in a place that I want to be. And those escalators just give me a chance to continue to grind every day and help this team win and be the best version of myself that I can be each and every day.
There are quite a few of you guys under contract through 2030 and beyond. When you think about that core, what do you envision the group accomplishing in your time together?
Yeah, it's a special group. You know, I try not to look too far into the future, but and we're having a lot of fun playing good baseball right now. So just trying to stay present as best as possible. But it's super exciting when you talk about how young we are and the mix that we have of the great veteran guys that we have. So there's a lot to be excited about, and I'm excited. And knowing that in this process was a big reason as to why, you know, I wanted to stay here and be with those guys and grow with those guys. So it's super exciting.
Become such a key piece of this team so quickly. It's only been not even 2 months. Have you been surprised with how seamlessly that this has kind of taken off for you in the early part of your career?
No, I mean, it's hard to say I was surprised. Like I said, I believe in myself in every way, but I think I got to give credit to the staff that we have here, the people we have here, my teammates. They made this process so much easier, and they make my life a whole lot easier coming to the field every day and you know, hanging out with these guys and just having fun and looking forward to coming to the field every day. It makes my life a whole lot easier, and it makes, you know, taking the field a whole lot easier when I'm taking it with guys who I just consider my best friends.
Roman, they invested in you, but you also invested in them. Based on your time in the organization, what made you feel like that was the right move for you?
Yeah, I think just going back to when I was an 18-year-old kid who was freshly drafted and going through that process in high school, you know, meeting so many great individuals who still have a, you know, great impact on my life today, and so many of my teammates and guys that I came up with. You know, I think coming up through this org obviously was a big decision in, as to why I wanted to stay here and continue to see these similar faces for the next, you know, 9 years. And I think, you know, that was such a big part of the reason as to why, you know, I wanted to just continue to do this and continue to show up and be with the same people every day is coming up through the minors and coming up through such a great org and being in such an amazing city. I couldn't think of anywhere else I'd want to be.
That's nowhere else.
Face of the franchise right there, Andrew.
That's your franchise. Face, voice, even-keeled nature of the franchise, he's definitely got a little bit of, like, flatline in a good way.
Yeah.
I mean that in a bad way.
Him and Crochet both have it, which is why they're respectively perfect for what they're doing, they're doing.
He does not sound 21. He's a very composed, mature young man.
Also, doesn't sound like he's 21 and just signed a $130 million yeah. contract that yeah. could go up
another
$100
million. See, nothing gets to him. Like, the kid is unflappable.
We'll see.
Are you ready for 8 more years of Roman Anthony?
Of course I'm ready, Jones. Thank God they didn't let this guy get away. Thought he was going to leave in free agency this offseason. Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm excited that Roman Anthony is here for the long haul. It's important not to lose your stars. The last great player on the Red Sox left way before he should have. So you're not going to make that mistake with Roman Anthony. Yeah. So that was great news yesterday when we were out of Pat's camp.
Thank you for comparing it to Mookie Betts, who is the last great player. People try to lump in Devers and Bogarts and guys like
no,
this.
No.
A lot of us in real time were like, could you just pay Mookie Betts? Could you just pay him? He's worth it. Would you pay him? Why are you not going to pay him? Why are you dragging your feet on paying him? Could you pay the guy?
Right.
Now they pay this guy and people are upset about this.
No. I'm happy about this. And this also goes back to...
But I'm not talking about you. There's like a general...
Could you please talk about me?
There's a general annoyance about Roman Anthony being paid. Like, this is more proof that the Red Sox are cheap. They are cheap.
Yeah, no, they are.
Whoever said they weren't cheap.
Yeah, but I don't want this guy
cheap.
To get away.
Okay.
I want this guy on the team.
Somehow this has been framed as like not a good thing, which is odd to... It's very, very, very strange to me. Not paying guys is how you lose them, a la Mookie Betts, which we're all still bitching about.
And the key to this, too, is you're not going to arbitration in however many years, right? Because he is under team control for a long time. That's why it is kind of funny. It's like, oh, you got him for 8 years. Like, well, you had him for five or whatever it was. But no.
If he's first or second in the rookie of the year, he's in arbitration in 2 years.
Yeah, and then he's going to start making more and more and more money. You could ask, you know, maybe he left some money on the table or whatever. But, hey, for the team... You have this guy for 8 years. But I still go back to the story, and I forget who had the original report on this, but you go back to Mookie Betts. You already knew he was good. I forget if he had won an MVP already or not. Maybe he hadn't, but he knew he was good. And he went to arbitration. The same Red Sox team that, oh, by the way, last year took Jaron Duran to arbitration for like $500,000. So they took Mookie Betts to arbitration, and this is where you have to tell the player why he's not worth as much as they're asking for. And they basically... showed him like clips of like Chris Bryant, and they're like, you're not Chris Bryant. And it's like,
accurate.
Right. Yeah. Chris Bryant burned hot and then kind of disappeared. So I was like, but that sticks with players, you know? I mean, to the extreme, like Jeremy Swayman still probably butthurt about the arbitration thing, talking about like it's like the worst. It was like torture. But for all these players, one thing that Theo Epstein was great at, nobody went to arbitration. They figured everything out. They were like, all right, we're not going to basically take you to court and say why we shouldn't pay you. We're going to come to some sort of agreement, get that done, and move on. So for Roman Anthony, who is only 21, so, you know, he's not one of these guys that is not going to become a free agent until he's 33 or something like that. Like, he can still hit big-time free agency with years left in his career. But if you're the Red Sox, you've seen too many good players walk out the door. And this is one of those guys that you feel like, and you've even seen it too. This isn't just projection. Now, it hasn't been a full year, but like at least you've seen him have success at the major league level. You know what kind of player he is right now, and you also are hoping, you know, what he's going to be.
It's not like Christian Campbell.
No.
Where the guy hasn't played, and you hand him a big, fat, giant contract, which maybe it'll work out, maybe it won't. I didn't like how the Rafaela and Bayo extensions looked earlier this year. Fast forward a couple
of
months.
They look better.
Yeah. They look brilliant.
Yeah.
And so maybe we'll feel that way about Campbell. Maybe not. But to your point, at least there's a track record with this guy.
Yeah.
And he came in exactly as advertised.
Yeah. No, he is. And I just, the thing that I don't really like about it is for some that are celebrating it, which you should, it's like, Are you just trying to distract us from the bad trade deadline?
Well,
because the timing of it is annoying to me.
Like, Sam Kennedy was attempting to do that.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he definitely was. And I'm so, don't get it wrong. I am very happy the Red Sox signed Roman Anthony to an 8-year deal. But for those of you that were pissed that you got a zero return for Devers, and for those of you that you're pissed that you only got Dustin May, who we'll talk about coming up, you got him in the trade deadline. Like, you should still be pissed. Like, there's a lot of reasons to be pissed about the team. This isn't one of them, though. This is a good thing. So maybe they'll string together a bunch of positive moves going forward. I'm still annoyed about the trade deadline. Don't get me wrong about that. I thought this team is good enough where you should have been more aggressive and you should have been more of a buyer, because this does feel like maybe a World Series contending team. But as far as the future is concerned, great. For all you Roman Anthony fans, we were at the game a couple weeks ago, and I was surprised how many Roman Anthony jerseys were already in the stands. And so for those kids that had him on, for the most part, like, all right, he's going to be here a while. So, like, that's good news. This isn't like Mookie Betts or even Kyle Schwarber, who I know wasn't a homegrown guy, but he came in here. People loved him, grew attached to him. Then it's like, all right, see you later. Like, they've had a lot of guys that have kind of come and gone. And so, like, who could you get attached to? Like, all right, you can get attached to Roman Anthony now. That's a good sign.
So I don't really understand the outrage at the Red Sox over this move. Trade deadline, fine. The overall trajectory of John Henry and his ownership, frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, they're outside the top 10 in the payroll again. I am annoyed at all of that. Separate thought now. Can I like the extension?
You can like
of
the extension.
Roman Anthony.
I think the timing just is kind of like a little insulting.
Okay, well,
as a fan.
That's what the text line is commenting on. And I said this yesterday in real time. Like, I was bracing for, and Breslow, in fairness, did not throw this back in your face yesterday. He could have. He didn't. He was asked about the Devers money. He said they're separate. We'll play it for you coming up. But he could have said, oh, yeah, see, this is what we're doing with the money. He did not do that.
Right.
Maybe I missed it. I didn't hear Sam Kennedy do that this morning. So I think it's annoying to hear, well, this is what we're doing with the Devers money. Like, no, what you should do with the Devers money is use it in the offseason, which is how you and I always felt. They were never going to use it in season.
No, that didn't really make sense.
Sign Kyle Tucker, sign the polar bear, Pete Alonso.
Oh, yeah.
You know, trade for Joe Ryan, which Kennedy did not rule out
he
this morning.
Kind of said
fan
that's
the
what
flames.
They're doing.
I'm now expecting them to do it,
I
Sam.
I know.
You know, trade for him and give him an extension, something like that. Like, that's when they were always going to use the Devers money. They weren't going to use it in season. So that's when they were going to do it. I wouldn't connect this to Devers. They could have done this independent of Devers. They could have done it anyway. I was bracing for a Bregman extension where they're like, see, we spent it. See, this is what we're doing. That's what I was bracing for. Roman Anthony wasn't on my radar. But the text line, 617-779-7937. Good to use that again, Keith, now that we're back in studio.
Oh, we're back in the studio. It's excellent.
We've been out getting, I mean, me not a tan. You got a little bit of a tan going on over there.
Yeah, just, you know, lawn work.
That's outside.
Yeah, well, we're under a tent. No, this is from being outside at my house.
Oh, nice.
I told you I went to a block party. That was outside.
Lovely.
Then I was at the splash pad that had the poop in it.
Big time.
That
is sick brag,
bro. Seriously. That was not a brag. I would never want to go there again.
It was just sick.
But that was outside.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
yeah
why
nice.
Well,
how about that?
That's why I had like a reddish hue about my face.
But anyway, we're back in here. Text line, operational again. I don't think it was a stupid decision. Oh, good. It's not stupid to pay one of the best young players in baseball. Good
the
luck.
Top prospect.
Well, I'm happy we got
year.
That out of the way. It's not stupid to good. Pay Roman Anthony. Oh, good to know.
Yep.
However, I think they could have done this deal after next season. Why do people feel that way?
No.
It's better to wait and pay him more? Like, I get that this doesn't change this team's outlook at all. It doesn't change anything about this year's team.
Him.
He was on the team.
Him.
He wasn't going anywhere. Why kick the can down the road if you can pay him right now?
No, I'm taking it as a win. I just think it's kind of funny. And then you see the press conference yesterday, and it's like the same group of guys that had a horrible trade deadline are all like patting themselves on the back because they signed the 21-year-old who was under contract for 5 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad that it happened, but I think it's also fair to point out, like, guys, you screwed up bad the week before, and so you're like having a cake and you're bringing in like a pizza party.
I didn't like the Dustin May experience last night. That I did
like,
not find enjoyable.
No. We get him every fifth day. Is that the plan
for now?
Yeah,
for now.
Cooper Criswell should get another go.
Maybe.
I think guy's better.
Red Sox lose 7-3 last night. So their win. What was the win streak up to
again?
Seven. Oh, right. That's now over.
Yep.
But they did take the series from the Royals. They head out west. They start with the Padres tomorrow, then the Astros. Should be an interesting six-game trip. You can talk about the Roman Anthony extension, all your thoughts on it, and the direction of the Red Sox, 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We will talk to Rob Bradford coming up at 11:30. Get all his thoughts, all the details, whatever he's hearing on the Roman Anthony extension, how it came together, why they're doing it, what their plans are moving forward. We'll also go on the clock at high noon. In just 60 seconds, we'll tell you everything you need to look for in the Patriots preseason opener tomorrow night against the Washington
Commanders. Preseason opener? Holy smokes, football. That's quick.
There's like three or four preseason games tonight, Keith.
Oh, my God.
Football is back.
It is back.
Football is back.
Get excited. I think Pats are like 6.5-point favorites. Heavy favorites.
I think the over-under is 34.5, and I think you're going to hear that at high noon.
Oh, okay.
Some of us have some betting advice for the game.
All right, a little
coming
juice
your way in just a little bit.
Exciting.
Keith is down on my guy, Craig Breslow. Here was Breslow at the Roman Anthony introductory press contract announcement yesterday. He called it a responsible decision.
I think the clearest way to answer that is that it was the responsible decision in my view. We had someone who was very outspoken about wanting to be here and how much they enjoyed the city of Boston, the fan base, the opportunity to put on a Red Sox uniform every day. And, you know, from our end in baseball operations and inclusive of ownership, this was someone that we were willing to invest in. And so we got to the point where we had to make this effort. And it was either going to work or it wasn't, and it was going to happen pretty quickly, so it didn't become a distraction on the field. And I think both sides are incredibly excited about where we ended up.
Okay, they don't want it to become a distraction on the field.
It was the responsible decision.
Well, I do think
is that a shot at Mookie Betts?
No. I think it's probably a shot at
Devers?
Bloom, even Dombrowski, like whoever couldn't get Betts paid early. It's probably a shot at them.
But I don't remember, as much as I love Mookie Betts, and will bring it up to the day I die, there was a lot of talk about, like, maybe he didn't want to be in Boston for the long haul.
Maybe, but that's after, and you mentioned this.
Arbitration. They might have forced his hand.
Even pre-arb numbers, the same thing they did to Durant. They were like, no. And ultimately, they caved and gave Durant the money.
I'm not besmirching Mookie Betts, and I know Breslow wasn't the one that was here when he got traded, but he does point out early on, he's like, this is a guy that really wants to be here, loves playing here, and wants to be here.
Oh, I hear that.
That's what I'm saying. That part of it.
I was latching on to the responsible decision part. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, Roman Anthony is clearly leaving money on the table and not betting on himself. So I think that is clear. And maybe he is sacrificing some of that to be here with whatever, his buddy Marcelo Meyer, or he really truly likes Boston.
Let's see. Marcelo hasn't signed an extension yet.
No, I wouldn't anticipate that one anytime soon.
No, he probably needs to make it through a season. No, I like the guy. I'm just saying, you got to play a full year maybe and then get the contract.
And I just think, all that he loves Boston and all this. I mean, I guess proof is in the pudding. It's why he signed it. It's also a lot of money. It's not the most money he could have got.
Right.
But it's also a lot of money. In the meantime, Sam Kennedy, I think, revealed this morning in the front office report with the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of it, Odyssey app, go back and use the rewind feature. You can listen to the full interview. AUDACY, get it on your phone, free, easy, take it with you wherever you go. You can also listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. He let you know they started talking about this at the winter meetings. They continued to talk about it through spring training. Alex Speer reported today that they had discussed the Red Sox, Breslow, and Roman Anthony's agent had discussed tabling this until after the season. And so it kind of expedited and picked up steam. And you wonder if them doing nothing at the deadline and Breslow getting booed and the Devers money, et cetera, bullied them into coming back to the table with Roman Anthony. But this is a guy they tried to pay at the winter meetings, in the offseason, at spring training. They did it. And I think they punished him for not taking the contract, which is why he started in AAA.
Yeah, he literally
and
hit
Christian
like
Campbell is here.
He hit like a 500-foot homer in the minors, and we're like, are you going to call this guy up?
So that, to me, was frustrating. I'm frustrated by that. They could be sitting here in first place if they started the year with Roman Anthony.
They should have started the year with him, or certainly gotten up there sooner than he did. You know, it took a little while to get him up there, and you got a feeling it had something to do with that, right? Because they were like, oh, he's working on some stuff or whatever, and you're like what? Right? Because, like, were you really teaching him how to field a grounder? No, he didn't do that until he got up to the major league level. And then you showed him out. You put him out there to do it.
He might have learned how to do that a little quicker.
The guy's working on some stuff. It's like, you could probably use him. You could find a way to use Roman Anthony. Now, like, they might be kind of bailed out just by how the rest of the team has performed and where they're at in the standings right now. you know, if they were a game or two out of a playoff spot and you're like, why did you put Roman Anthony on ice for 2 months? Because of a contract negotiation? But, you know, I guess it's to this point it is worked out. It's all there in front of them. They should be a playoff team. And he's going to be on the, he's going to be part of your future for close to a decade. So all that is good. I just, again, I kind of roll my eyes a little bit at the timing, even though the ultimate decision is great.
Well, speaking of the timing, Kennedy was in pretty good spirits this morning on the front office report. They did make him squirm a little bit when they asked him about the trade deadline. Here's Sam Kennedy and his thoughts on how things went down just a week or so ago.
It was really fascinating to watch Craig sort of throw caution to the wind. I mean, he was all in, incredibly aggressive in packaging in just about everybody and everything in that farm system. There was a real thought that we were going to get deals done, one deal, two deals done for a controllable starter. We fell short of that. We obviously did get a couple deals done to reinforce the bullpen and the rotation with Dustin coming over. But it was there was not a lot of long-term thinking going on at the deadline. And we were aggressive, but I always quote Dustin Pedroia, but there's no prize for trying. He always says we try at the why, you know, like this is about results. And when we didn't get the controllable sort of targeted starters that we were engaged with, you know, we did feel a sense of frustration, but we quickly picked ourselves up off the mat and we moved on because we knew there were other discussions going on and things that we needed to focus on.
So Sam, at the end of the day, was it just that teams were not willing to part ways, or was the price too high for you guys that they wanted more than what you were willing to give up?
No, it was teams weren't willing to part ways.
Okay, so I actually agree with them on the second thing. No controlled pitchers move. Do you agree with that or no?
No, not necessarily. I think the Minnesota Twins, for example, there's been so much talk about Joe Ryan. They traded their entire roster. They traded everybody but Joe Ryan. And now Joe Ryan is one of their bigger commodities, obviously.
But you just said it. They traded everybody but him. They didn't trade him.
No, they didn't. But apparently they didn't know the Red Sox wanted him until like 20 minutes before the deadline.
Yeah, but we talked about Joe Ryan for weeks and weeks and
they
weeks.
They didn't, right? Didn't Ken Rosenthal say it wasn't until like the closing minutes? Well, then they were like, all right, that's too big of a trade to start talking about now?
I think he said they got a little more serious closer to the trade deadline, but it might have been because they knew the Twins' ask was too high. Again, he didn't move. They moved everybody. He didn't
teams
move.
Have to like our players.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, my guess is they probably wanted Duran. Or...
I mean, he's got that part of it, too. I mean, I still think you could pivot to players better than Dustin May. So even if you want to say, all right, you were right, those guys didn't move. But even then, like, I don't know. I think they would have if you were more aggressive and if you started the conversations, I don't know, sooner.
I roll my eyes at the whole, like, oh, well, they did everything they could. No, they didn't. Bradford, we'll talk to him about it at 11:30. Bradford said they only included two of their top three prospects, some combination.
No, I just heard Bradford was super crazy the thing. He was going nuts.
I roll my eyes at that, and they could have done more on the rental market. No controlled pitchers moved starters.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And so I kind of
we don't know what everybody else's offers were.
No, we don't. But none of them moved. Alcantara, Cabrera, Ryan. Who else am I missing? None of them moved. Mm-hmm. None of them. Mm-hmm. And so I just think those guys weren't going to move. They're probably going to move in the offseason.
Yeah,
which is what happened last year with Crochet. Kennedy brought that up.
But we're supposed to be led to believe that Craig Breslow turned into a wild man. It was like the most aggressive ever, and they landed Steven Matz and Dustin May.
No, so I'm with you on that half of it. The controlled pitcher market, I'm more with what Kennedy had to say.
He drank a full Coca-Cola soda.
No, no, no.
He never drinks full Coca-Cola sodas.
Plenty of rental players moved. So that one is ridiculous, and they could have done more to get Merrill Kelly, Eugenio Suarez, Josh Naylor, who had a good night again last night. Like, they could have gotten all those guys. I agree with you on it. The cost control pitchers, I don't think they could have. Those guys didn't move.
That answer from Sam is weird, too. He's like making himself laugh a few times, then he's like throwing in a Dustin Pedroia quote. You're like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
He's like, oh man, you should have seen Craig. Like, yeah, we didn't. We saw the results, which were a scrubby starting pitcher who's a rental and a reliever who's so far so good, I guess, but like, you know, not even a top end reliever that was traded at the deadline.
So it
seems weird. It seems like all of a sudden they're like spinning the trade deadline
into
a good thing. They're like, Breslow's a maniac. Like, this guy, oh, don't criticize him. You should have seen the players that were available. It's like, well, I also saw the players that you guys brought in, and I'm not that impressed.
This is the thing. It's like, you knew they were going to try to spin it.
Yeah.
And so I'm not with that.
Yeah.
But I like the extension, and I like that he's here, and I like that they have, in general, done what they said they were going to do, which is, guys, we're going to limit our spending, which I am against. But if they're going to do it, lock up your guys early. Don't wait until the last second and then let them go for nothing, which is what they had been doing. Lock up Bayo. Lock up Rafaela. Lock up Campbell, which hasn't worked out as well. Lock up Anthony. Lock those guys up early.
Yeah, no, I like that.
If you're not going to spend $750 million in free agency, then this is the alternative. And at least they're doing that. And so I'll give them that. All the other spin is nonsense.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of annoying.
The idea that Breslow was going nuts at the trade deadline, turning over every rock and stone, nonsense. But I'll give him the Anthony thing yesterday. I will give him that. 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe. We'll talk to Bradfo at 11:30. We'll go on the clock at high noon, what to look for in the Patriots preseason opener tomorrow night in just 60 seconds. And when we come back, what is the extension for Roman Anthony? Tell us about the Red Sox and future spending. We'll do that right after Trending with Billy Lanny.